Hello, everybody. Welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch, and we are here this evening. We're going to talk about some Christmas holiday treats. We're going to talk about Better Watch Out, Black Christmas 2006, maybe dabble in 1974 Black Christmas, and talk about the December 12th, 1997 release, Scream 2. And you know what? We've got a person here who's never done a podcast. I've never had them on as a guest. It's their first time. Please welcome Matt Emmert.
Who's Matt Emmert?
See, the irony behind
that. People are
going
to start
to
think, like, is he the guy who just, like, said, Tim, put me on your podcast.
Well, you know,
Tim.
I called and texted Hiko Mitsuzuko, and he refused. He said, I'm writing a Bello magazine
He did.
Article.
I think he was too busy volunteering with the Trevor Project.
Yes.
That's why.
And so he said, you know what, Tim, when I get to it, he said, don't call me, I'll call you.
Call you. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's
and
true.
I said,
he
okay.
has a busy schedule, you know? You know. So
I just wish he'd want to be on this podcast. It's so up his alley.
He really hates it. He hates it. I feel like I'm just an alternate, you know?
You are.
I'm like,
Plan B.
If you can't, that was my nickname all through high school. Plan B.
I don't think it changed.
That's true. So I just want to let all of the listeners know that we have a change of scenery tonight.
Yeah.
We are at Tim's place. Now, we usually do the podcast at my place on my comfortable couch.
And it's
now we're
very
on,
comfortable.
Now we're on Tim's comfortable bed.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matt
and,
is.
Actually. Well, you Tim's in, just to paint a picture, Tim's in praying position right now.
Right. Like,
he's
on my knees.
He's on his knees. Oh. Hey-o. And I'm just laying like...
doing a photo shoot like Burt Reynolds.
It's true. Yeah. I am
if anyone
like
gets that reference,
you're old.
Yeah,
you're old,
you.
Basically. Yeah, but anyway, tis the season for Christmas horror movies.
Yes, should we just jump right in?
I think we should jump right in because I mean, yeah.
All right. So to set the scene, also because you know we're all about setting the scene.
We like setting scenes.
Okay, so we watched a movie from 2016 called Better Watch Out.
You better not cry.
No. Just better watch out.
Yeah, it's true. Better watch out.
And I liked it.
Yeah, well, I guess let's tell the views. So just to paint a picture of what this is. So this is a Christmas-themed horror movie that was released on Amazon Video, Vudu, not Hulu, not Netflix, but you can find it on iTunes. You can pay to rent it, basically. It was
released
last year.
We did that.
And it is... I guess the first reference I would give to you, so it's called Better Watch Out, and just a quick plot is that there's a babysitter that's babysitting like a teenage boy.
Her name is Ashley.
Yeah, Ashley. Mm-hmm. And they think there's an intruder coming to get them, and she's trying to protect him or whatever, and basically she finds out that this teenage boy who she's babysitting...
Wait. Before we spoil it. We're going to spoil it.
I mean,
so
we
spoil
everything.
If you're just like, Tim, I want to watch Better Watch Out, then pull your car over.
But this is like this isn't the... We have to talk about this
I know. You're right.
Basically, she... And this isn't like a big reveal. This is like after like 20 minutes.
Right.
That basically the teenage boy orchestrated everything and really has this like elaborate plot to... I don't even know if he's trying to like
date her
or get revenge on her and her current and ex-boyfriend, but he's a psychopath 13-year-old kid.
Sadistic.
So he's developed this whole plan. The original plan was he would save her from the fake intruder, which is really his friend, so that he would look hot and then she would like him.
But she finds out that uh-huh. his best friend is in fact the intruder, and she calls him out and she's pissed.
And then he basically like knocks her out, ties her up, like
tapes her.
Yeah, like and gets her current and ex-boyfriend over and proceeds to like torture them and kill all of them. And I know that sounds really like psychotic, but the way they do this movie is in it's almost a slightly comical way, don't you think?
I wasn't laughing.
Well, I mean, but I mean, I don't want to, the way we just described it made it sound like it's like some torture porn shit, which isn't.
You know, I will say that it did not look like a theatrical release. There was some, like, the house kind of looked like a set.
Oh, definitely.
So I was like, so it kind of took me out in that aspect. And I think that the kid, I was confused by his acting. You know what I mean? Like, the girl only seemed like maybe 3 years older.
Yeah, well, I mean, the dynamic right away is weird. First off, anytime a teenager is getting babysat, I always feel like that's weird because you're being babysat by a teenager, so why do you need someone? But the age difference was supposed to be, I think, like 4 years, because he was supposed to be 13. I guess she was supposed to be 17 because she was about to go to college or something. Right. So that's weird as it is. But if you forget about that weirdness, like, I will say this, like, it was something I've never seen before.
No. And I actually
liked it.
I did like it. I do recommend it. But yeah. I mean, like, no, it definitely, if it's in the theater, I wouldn't recommend it.
I don't think, I get why it wasn't released in the theater, because again, it's not what you expect, because obviously we've seen intruder babysitter movies for, you know, decades, but
that's what it has going for us, because the setup is something you have seen before. So you think you know where it's going.
Exactly.
And then it turns on its head.
And then, like, but you, then you start to, like, the kid, you start to question, like, how far is he going to go with this? Because initially he has a crush on the girl, so he's not going to, like, take it too far, but he takes it too far.
Oh, I know. I actually was, like, here's the thing. I don't like movies where kids, I don't like kids. The end. Thank you for listening. No, I don't like, especially the only time I think it works where kids are even spookier is The Shining, but I don't like kids as killers, and I don't like kids as ghosts. Like, that does nothing for me.
There goes 50% of, like, horror movies.
I know. And I have, that's why, I mean, I love horror movies. This is a horror movie podcast, but kids, like, running by, I feel like it's overdone, it's overplayed, I'm not interested.
So starting with the, I guess, the positives of this, because I think there were a lot, I thought the acting was pretty good.
Yes.
The kid who plays the 13-year-old is actually, like 16 maybe or something. Yeah.
His name is Levi Miller.
Yeah.
And he played Luke.
And he was good. He was actually very good. Like, he really made you hate him. And I remember we were talking about this during the movie.
I can't wait until this babysitter gets free, because she was tied up and taped. I can't wait till she gets free and beats the shit out of
this kid. No, this kid deserved to be. This is not a tame kid. Then the kid's best friend, who thought they were just playing a prank on the babysitter, has higher moral standards. Right. Like, he starts to question, like, okay, I think my friend's a little psycho. And just for people who have seen the M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Visit, if you remember the young boy in The Visit who does, like, the rap at the end, he's funny, but he's actually good.
He plays the best friend. I did see that movie.
Yeah. And then I don't know who the actress is who plays the main girl. She was pretty good. Pretty blonde girl.
Her name is Olivia. Okay, I'm going to spell it. DeJonghi.
But for all of the gay listeners out here, aka 90% of the audience,
it's strictly straight.
Oh, it's all straight guys. Mm-hmm. The blonde guy from Stranger Things season 2, who plays the older brother of the new young girl, he is in this as one of her ex-boyfriends.
I will say, is he the one that gets killed?
I mean, a lot of people get Dacre Montgomery. How do you pronounce that?
That's his Dacre. Dacre.
He's in it too. So there's some slightly upcoming. And the parents of the kid, Virginia Madsen,
who was unrecognizable, which is fine. She had, like, red hair, and I'm used to her having her big blonde bouffant.
And Patrick Warburton, aka Joe on Family Guy.
Oh, and by the way, Virginia Madsen makes, like, a recklessly gay insult to Patrick Warburton.
Oh, she's like, what are you gonna just suck a cock already or something?
Yeah, because a little off color.
Yeah, because her husband, it's not that he's effeminate. I guess
he was putting up Christmas ornaments.
Yeah, and she was, but they were supposed to be shitty parents. Obviously, they're not going to be great if the kid's a fucking psychopath.
Well, there was that subplot where the little kid was like, "Why doesn't my mom ever hold me anymore?"
Oh.
Which I was like, this is dark.
I mean, I guess they're saying, well, you see, that's a warning for all you new parents out there. Hold your kids or they'll be psychopaths.
Right, pretty much. If you don't hug your kids, they'll kill you.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, like, but the movie was interesting because, like, I've never seen a movie that, like, does that type of twist where the kid is involved, like, coming after his own babysitter.
I know. And I will say, like, she, when her mouth didn't have tape on it and she was trying to discipline him, I mean, she wasn't going to get through to him. So I thought that all those scenes were so frustrating.
Well, and she also, I feel like she doesn't take him seriously at the beginning because she thinks, like, this is just a kid. Like, how far is he really going to go with this? And then, like, the first murder happens and she realizes this is some.
I will say that scene was, they do the whole, Home Alone thing with the, they tie the paint to the thing and he throws it over the banister and it bashes the kid's face in.
Yeah, but unlike Home Alone where they get hit a billion times like and they have no injuries,
yeah.
This they show what would really happen if you dropped a full paint can off a banister.
They didn't show it.
I mean, but I mean, like, what would happen is it would kill you. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll die.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, it got sort of sadistic toward the end. Like, the kid goes really psycho, but they still have it in this like comedic manner. It reminded me of the movie that we actually talked about on one of the previous podcasts, The Babysitter. Mm-hmm. It reminded me a little bit of that. I mean, a different plot line, but just that it was like slightly over the top. You know, it was like horror with a little bit of comedy, but I liked this better than The Babysitter. I've got to say, like, I feel like we're painting this picture that it's just this crazy, uncomfortable movie, but it was interesting.
That's a great description.
But it was interesting. Like, I mean, what makes it a Christmas horror movie, obviously, it takes place during the holidays, and so I guess that's really all that made it a Christmas horror movie.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And it takes place in the snow.
Yeah, and there's Christmas ornaments up. Right. That's basically,
I mean, it could have taken place in the summer.
But it's like there's no other Christmas element or backstory or Santa or anything. But no.
And it has a great ending.
Yes. So I guess we shouldn't give that away. Or
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. There's our gift to you. We're not going to spoil the ending. No, it did. It was a great ending. I was very happy with the ending. And I think that, a weird dysfunctional family, obviously. But I actually think the kid who played the psychopath, like, could have a career ahead of him as an actor. Like, he was good. Many teenagers can play that crazy.
I hated him.
Yeah. Oh.
So, good job. Well done.
Yeah. No, it was effective because you hate him and you don't think, like, you don't take it seriously at first, but then you start to think, wow, this is nuts, like, off the rails.
It was like that movie we were talking about. It was starred Naomi Watts, where it was called Funny Games.
Naomi Watts?
Mm-hmm.
Did you just turn on an
Mulholland Drive. Yes, yes, I did. And so, you know, I get sidetracked. And do you remember the movie Funny Games? Did you see it?
I remember the previews for it. I don't actually think I saw it. I remember there was a lot of previews.
Brutal.
Was it funny and were there games in it?
No, it was not funny. Oh. And I don't think the kid was playing games because people died. Oh. But it was in the same, what's the word I'm looking for? Same genre. Real house. Oh. I don't ever say Real House.
It's funny. I'm looking at like user reviews and IMDb ratings online, and there it's pretty high. Like, I mean, for a horror movie, like, an average of 6.6 out of 10 for a non-wide release horror movie.
Rotten Tomatoes gave it 87%.
And Rotten Tomatoes gave it 87%, which is
good. That is high.
How did we not hear about this a year ago if it apparently came out a year ago?
I was so busy.
You were so drunk.
I was drunk the entire year.
All year.
Everyone was like, Tim. And I was like, I'm wasted.
But it's good because like if you're like Tim and I and you like horror movies and we were like, oh, let's watch some Christmas horror movies. And, you know, we've seen Silent Night, Deadly Night, Parts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No.
Yeah.
And
have you seen Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 5, The Toymaker, starring Mickey Rooney?
I have not, actually.
I really want to
see only
it.
Seen 1, 2, and
3 is a piece of poo.
I've seen, there's also the movie Silent Night without the Deadly Night. That's the one with Jamie
Lee Curtis.
No. she goes from she goes from Halloween to Christmas. She's a new Valentine's.
She's like, you know what? Where's Easter?
The girl who hosted the Scream Queen show for a while, Jamie Kennedy.
No. I know exactly who you're talking about. She's blonde.
Yes. Jamie, she's in a lot of horror movies. She was in
King?
Mother's Day. King, yes.
Oh
yes.
My gosh. Okay. Mother's Day. We're getting a little off topic.
Yeah, that's next holiday season. Yeah.
I hated Mother's Day.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Yeah, it was rough.
Disgusting.
But anyway, so yes. I guess all in all, unless is there more to say about this?
No,
I mean,
I
it's
think
good.
We beat a dead horse.
We beat a dead, yeah. It's called Better Watch Out. Again, you have to rent it on, you have to stream it, sorry, rent it.
I think
it.
I paid $6.99 for it.
Well, you are an idiot.
I know. Well, I get it for the month. If anyone cares to come over, I'm going to watch it every single night.
He's got like 24 days left.
It was
so
my first time ever watching something on Amazon.
Amazon. Yeah, yeah. You can. No, I mean, like, it's if it's not on Netflix, in which it isn't, then you have to rent it on Amazon and pay.
So
sucks.
You know what I'm going to do, Matt? This is what I'm going to do.
You're going to give out your Amazon info to all the listeners.
No.
And they can buy shit card.
I might follow Olivia DeJungi, Ashley the babysitter, on Twitter.
Oh, you should tweet her and be like, oh, you should actually. I should. Wait, did we say good stuff about her? We just said a lot of good stuff.
She's
about the
beautiful.
Guy. She is beautiful. But
no,
I mean,
you know who was the good looking one? I mean, of course, the babysitter was too, the girl. But, you know, I'm into boys. the guy, Ricky.
Wait.
The one that got a pencil stabbed in his cheek.
The guy who got the Home Alone.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good looking, but I mean, the guy from Stranger Things is much hotter.
Not interesting.
You don't see it, but you didn't. You saw
Stranger Things
two, right?
I saw the first season one and season two. You know, here's the thing: I probably would like it, but I don't have 9 hours.
But we spent an hour and a half watching Better Watch Out.
That's right.
You're right. No, the guy from Stranger Things who plays an asshole again in Stranger Things, it's a very small part. He plays her ex-boyfriend in this, but I only recognize his face because he's wearing like a beanie the whole time. He's not in it for long.
He's
shows
the one that
up.
Gets hung.
Yes, the guy who gets hung.
I just
by
gave
the kid.
It away.
Yeah, but I mean, whatever. He's not in it for long, but he is very cute. So like, there's eye candy in this for guys and girls because the babysitter is very cute. Didn't she look like she'd be Australian? I feel like every hot blonde actress is Australian.
Yeah, she was very pretty. And, she
and her last
actress.
Name is Dejonge. That doesn't sound American.
D-E-J-O-N-G-E.
Or maybe
Dejonge.
That's like Dutch or something. I'm totally guessing. I have no idea. But you should follow
her. I'm going to tweet her, everybody.
You should follow the kid, too. And not in like a creepy pedophiliac way, but like in a, hey, we're talking. Like, how many people are talking about this horror movie? Probably not
everyone. It's Christmas time.
True,
everyone.
Yeah. But I mean, we didn't even hear about it a year ago, so.
I don't know where we were.
I don't know. But anyway, Better Watch Out is the name of the movie, not
so
the
you
Santa
better
song.
Watch out and go get it.
And watch. No, you better watch it.
Oh, man.
Oh, God,
how do you
kill.
How do you do it?
Okay, moving on.
Okay, next movie. We're going to talk about the Black Christmas remake 2006. So it's the 11th anniversary?
11? Wait. Oh, the 11th. Oh, of when
Black
it came
Christmas.
Out.
Yeah.
I was thinking, because for all you horror enthusiasts that like 1970s horror movies, the original came out in 1974. So it took them 32 years to make a remake. But... So the remake of Black Christmas is very, very different than the original. It almost Rob Zombied the story giving all that. Not violent-wise, but I mean, they did like... In the original Black Christmas, they don't talk much about the killer, Billy.
No, they don't say any
barely.
Names.
No bat. Well, you hear him saying Billy and things on the phone, but they don't talk about his backstory. They, you know, nothing with that. He's just a creepy guy that's calling from inside the house, which is terrifying.
We just gave away the whole movie again.
True, but, you know, we're spoilers.
Listen, we should just let everyone know. Before we start talking about 2006 Black Christmas, we're just giving away the fun.
Exactly. And also, it's like, how do you talk about movies without giving... Well, I guess that's
you
how
can,
it appears.
But
yeah,
we're not capable.
Who cares?
When I saw the 2006 Black Christmas, I liked it so much better than the original because I watched the original by myself. I don't
loser.
Know, I was such a loser. Someone was like, oh, you have to watch this. It's like When a Stranger Calls before When a Stranger Calls.
And it was.
And it was. So like the calls coming from inside the house. Mm-hmm. They don't even do that in this
before
movie.
Before they do. Yeah, yes, she calls.
Oh, they do.
Oh, sorry.
So
not
weak.
In the 2006 one.
They
no.
do. No, they don't. Oh, I just got to. I'm
Dude,
so popular.
Don't. Oh, my God. I think Olivia DeJong just texted
she
him.
She did. She said, thanks for watching Better
She said,
Watch
I'm
out.
Listening live. I'm streaming live. Happy Horror Time.
She goes,
I love it.
I can't get enough of this.
I can't get enough. Wow. Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you, DeJongi. So I saw the original by myself, but I was like, God, this is boring. It was like, don't. Oh, I know you're a huge Halloween fan, but I thought it was so like Halloween. I was like, this is slow.
Oh, my God. We're going to get in a
but
big
this, but,
fight.
You know, I was at a different time in my life. I was like, it was like 2007 when I watched it, and I was like, no, it couldn't have been.
But like, well,
it was
I
like
mean,
2005. So I was
so
just like, what is what
on
is
a
this?
Very conflicting viewpoint. So I watched both of them. So we watched Black Christmas, Tim and I, right after Better Watch Out last week, and then the next day by myself, I watched the original because I love the original.
So you're
still,
the loser.
But
you just called me a loser.
I 100% think the original is better than the remake, and here's why. Yes, it's slow, but then obviously being a horror, I mean a Halloween fan, how many times have I mentioned that? I love like the slow building suspense, like. I don't need it flashy. Like I like
I need
that
the flash.
The slow burn that like keeps it creepy, but like and slowly revealing shit. And the 1974 Black Christmas is just so eerie and so creepy, and it's so simplistic. And like when they finally find out the call, well, you know the calls are coming from inside the house because the opening scene is him, you know, sneaking into the. Basement, but
not
that's
the
just,
basement.
I mean, sorry, the attic.
God,
I was like motioning up and it was like the basement because it's opposite state. Yeah. No, I love that. And the 2006 one, I will say it's a lot of fun, but really it's over the top.
I loved that.
Way, and I know you love over the top horror. Like over the top times two, like great cast though. All like up and coming, like cheesy teenage actresses, like my favorite, Lacey Chabert, my Hallmark movie favorite.
She's not a cheesy actress. I think she's the strongest
one. Serious actress. Cheesy Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
Michelle Trachtenberg, who I love from Gossip Girl. Mm-hmm. What's her name? Who was in Final Destination 3? Mary something Winstead?
Mary Beth Winstead.
Yes. And then Katie Cassidy, of course.
I think Katie Cassidy is gorgeous.
Oh my God, you are so straight right now.
Listen.
Katie Cassidy is beautiful. She's beautiful. And so the cast of the new Black Christmas is great. Many more death scenes, which are fun and stuff.
Okay,
they had the two killers.
Let's talk about those death scenes in the 2006.
Okay.
The director, I think his name is Glenn Morgan, and he put his wife in it, which is awesome because
who's his wife?
His wife is the one that comes to the sorority house looking for her sister.
Lee.
Oh,
she's like one of the main girls.
I wonder how she got the part. What was I going? Oh, yeah, yeah. So the director is obsessed with pulling out eyeballs,
yes,
eating eyeballs, and anything pointy going right through the head, and then before all that, putting a bag over the head.
But there's if I'm taking everything that was done in the remake as
it's about eyeballs.
If it's using inspiration from the original, take it. So in the original, the very first death, a girl gets suffocated with like a bag over her head.
Right.
So the remake director take that and like times 200. The eyeball thing, though, I think is because in one of the flashbacks, Billy to his sister/daughter, because it's the product of incest with his mother, which is gross.
Flashbacks, my God.
Those are the most over the top. They're doing the killer, and this isn't revealing anything because it's known from the beginning, is this crazy mental patient named Billy who had this awful childhood, and they show all these scenes from it.
His skin is orange.
Yellow.
Oh, yellow.
And his mom is like this, like
she's all hot for her son because her husband's an alcoholic. And then she has a baby, and it's a product of her and her son doing
basically raping her son. I mean, not raping, but it's incest, right? And it's statutory
rape. She has
the
baby,
but the scene where they show that he's an awkward, like something mentally off kid,
living
and she
in the
just
attic.
Goes and sits on him basically.
Oh, Matt, you took it there.
I mean, that's what happened.
Well,
right?
No, I know.
And then she has a kid, so
named Agnes.
Agnes. So of course, because Agnes is the product of incest. Agnes is a little off too.
Right.
And then Billy gets really jealous of the mom and the family's attention toward Agnes, so he stabs out her eyeball. That was the connection between
one eyeball or two eyeballs?
Just one. Or she wouldn't be able to see.
One.
So that's why she's obsessed with like taking people's eyeballs. Again, these are these crazy details that the new director added.
Matt, you're getting
now
a message.
I gotta,
you're so popular. I lost my train of thought.
Sorry. Eyeballs,
no,
Agnes.
What I was going to say is that the director is obsessed with that. I totally lost my train of thought.
Okay. There's a reason for the eyeball obsession, but it was like a totally new element. There's no Agnes in the original, but
no.
I did catch.
There's no.
Listen to the dialogue of the phone calls in the 1974 one, and the killer is like saying, "No, Agnes, no, it's Billy."
Oh.
So they do mention Agnes, but there's no Agnes character. So what I'm thinking is that the director of this remake saw obviously the original, was like, okay, how can I make it different? Which I respect.
No,
I totally
love
respect doing it different.
Making
and they,
bold choices.
They pulled a backstory. They made Billy and Agnes the killers. And Agnes, by the way, is a man dressed in drag. I read that it actually is a man
course.
Dressed
I had
in drag.
No
Not
doubt
that it's a
in
surprise.
My mind.
Yeah. But no, it is a fun movie. I really love the 2006 one. It's fun. There's more comedy. The 1974 one is much more.
I know
suspenseful.
Where you're going with that. When you leave the theater, if you see it in the theater. Oh, by the way, I'm seeing it at the New Beverly. If anyone wants to come up to
the original,
the original, and with Silent Night, Deadly Night, just Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, I wish I was in town.
You're
for
so
that.
Busy.
I'm so busy.
So what I was gonna say is, I do remember going home by myself after seeing Black Christmas, and it leaves you with an eerie feeling.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it ends.
It leaves with like, you feel a little
because they don't actually catch the real killer in it. That's the thing. So since I just watched it, I had to refresh my memory. Like, she Olivia Hussey, who is the Olivia Hussey, and Margot Kidder is great in the
original. Margot Kidder is so good.
Olivia Hussey is the survivor, and they make it look like the killer is her boyfriend, and she ends up killing him like in a fight, and then it's like, you know, police comes, whatever, but then it like pans away, and the killer's still out there, and
they leave her in the house.
Yeah, by herself.
By herself. They're like, yeah, everyone was just brutally attacked. They think they have the killer. It's her boyfriend.
Yes. They think but instead of taking her to a real hospital, they just like set her up in her bed and leave her alone.
And the killer's still in the attic. The end.
Yeah, exactly.
So you go, it's just eerie. It's very effective.
It is. And I'm trying to look, because Black Christmas was 1974. What year was When a Stranger Calls? I think it was
78.
After.
Let's look
because, it up. I'm looking it up. We're trying to now actually give real details. 1979.
Oh, wow.
Well, anyway, the reason I wanted to mention that is because
4 years later,
what that means is that everyone thinks of, when they think the call is coming from inside the house, they think When a Stranger Calls.
Carol Kane.
But yes, Have You Checked the Children? Great movie. But Black Christmas, the original, came up with that idea 5 years before that happened.
And what a weird title. Do you get Black Christmas? Do you get the title?
Well, I had heard that they were going to call it like Silent Night, Bloody. They had like other titles for
no
it. I read
to see it.
Black Christmas, I guess, just because,
like, Halloween Eyes, when he goes, his eyes
with
are
the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
Matt,
you like that impression?
Is channeling,
oh my god, I am
Donald
so
Pleasance.
On it with impressions tonight.
Really
no,
good
really good job. Really
good job.
Job.
I'm enjoying your impressions.
But, so, no, you're right. The original is unsettling. Whereas when I like after watching the 2006 Black Christmas, it's just like that was a fun horror movie, mm-hmm. you know. But I'm not going to go home like terrified
really
of a man with a wig that pulls out eyeballs.
No, I didn't. I walked out of 2006 just fine.
Just fine, I know. Well, but but that's why I like the original. And yeah, the ending is really, really creepy.
It is.
But that's
so
what I like. That's why I like the original Halloween. It's like these unsettling, slow, suspenseful movies that have to be flashy.
Right. I think the reason you like the 2006 one is because when you watch it with a bunch of people, you need that, like, it's almost like MTV flash, 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 flash.
Yeah.
But when you watch the 74 version, it's like,
it's creepy.
It's creepy.
It like there's something about 1970s slasher movies and
it's the
like early 80s.
It's the grittiness.
It's the grittiness. It's the setting. It's the ambiance.
It's the realness. The people aren't glossy. Like the 2006 one, like these girls are dressed to the nines.
Exactly.
In every single scene, you're like, and like, I'm watching a movie.
Even the death scenes, like the throwing the ice skate on, or like they're these, it's like over like glorified death scenes. Everything is, because you know, as technology has improved and years have gone on, like you got to up the ante. Everything has to be flashy and cool.
Everyone
and
wants a soundbite.
It could be very simple in the 70s, and that's why I like a lot of 70s horrors. But all in all, I recommend both the original and the remake. I just happen to like the original Black Christmas better.
I like them both, but I think what makes me like the 2006 one version is Lacey
Chabert.
It is. Because her name's Dana. She goes under the house for I don't know what reason.
No, she's the power went out and she's looking for the circuit. I know. Why is it under the house?
I don't
under.
But she goes under
and
willingly.
Also, why by herself? Like, I feel like if you're...
She's like,
I don't
there's a killer loose, but you know what? I'm going to crawl underneath the house.
Oh, you know another thing I only because I just watched it so recently. The house mother in the remake, Andrea Martin, was one of the girls in the original, which is cool.
By the way, I think she looks older in the 1974 version.
She does. She's dressed like an old mom as a sorority girl.
Like, you're being generous. She looks like a grandma.
And then in the remake, she plays the house mom. She looks great.
Yeah.
It's true. Really, I mean, she doesn't look as good as like the young girls, but and then there's also what's funny. There's like the drunk girl who has like the gratuitous nude scene in the shower, which is completely like,
by the way, she's in the Julia Roberts movie called Wonder. She plays a bitchy mom.
Oh, she's in that. You know who she reminds me of? The girl in the original Jeepers Creepers, Gina Phillips.
Yeah.
Doesn't she look like her?
I didn't particularly care for her as in the movie as a drunk girl. I mean, like, I just don't like drunk people in general.
I just don't like drunk people in general.
Well, no, but I mean, like,
unless you're the drunk person.
Right. Then, like, everyone's like, I'm hilarious.
I know. There wasn't anything to her. Like, I liked the Michelle Trachtenberg
character. They also had a Dick Cheney joke.
Oh, they did? In the movie?
In the 2006 one. They're like, she said something like Dick Cheney. And I was like, how timely. How stupid.
I will say the ending of the remake is just, talk about over the top. I mean, it's like she's running through the hospital. Nobody's helping her.
No doctors.
No, but there's, unlike like Halloween 2 or most movies when they always make it like nobody's in the hospital, she's running through everyone's in the hospital and nobody's helping her.
No, she had literally running. She still had to fight him.
She was fighting him. Everybody's watching and no one's helping her.
Yeah, and we actually went the extra mile and watched the three alternate endings.
We did. So if you have the DVD, is it the Blu-ray or the DVD?
I don't think it's on Blu-ray yet.
Oh, okay. So if you have the DVD for the new Black Christmas, I'm saying new, it's 11 years old.
Yeah.
The remake of the Black Christmas, it has like a bunch of alternate endings.
Which all were lukewarm.
Shitty. Yeah.
Lukewarm.
Although I did like in one of them that Lee survived, because I thought that was like, she survives the whole debacle just to get killed at the end.
Before we move on to our next movie, which we'll talk about that really briefly. The wife, the director's wife, is a great actress. Lee. Yeah.
Yeah, she's cool. She had that like New York,
Kristen
New Jersey
Cloak,
girl
I think
vibe.
Her name was. Right?
But she was older than the girls. Like she was supposed to be an older sister, so she had to be. She looked like she was maybe 35. Yeah.
Kristen Cloak. She was 39 when the movie was filmed.
So now she's 50.
40. She's 49. Her birthday is September 2nd, everybody.
Just so you know. Yeah.
Just so you know.
No, she was great. I liked her. I liked her character. It was cool. Like, I mean, but it was just it was a shitty way. It's like everybody knows the character in the horror movie that like survives the huge debacle only to die like in for some dumb reason at the end. Like, that's her character. It's like she gets through all of the really tough parts just to get her neck snapped by Agnes in the hospital.
Agnes.
Oops, spoiler.
Fun fact before we move on, her husband also directed Willard, about the rats, with Crispin Glover, and Black Christmas, obviously, and then Final Destination 3.
My favorite, the original's my favorite, but that's my second favorite, because the roller coaster one.
Yum,
now I know why he picked Mary Beth Winstead or whatever, because she was the star of Final Destination 3. Oh my God, everything makes sense right now.
Yeah,
life,
Merry Christmas.
Life has a new meaning. Thanks.
Okay, so last but not least, Matt and I are just going to brief, because we honestly could talk about this for like five hours.
I was just going to say, I could talk about this for
We're going to try to do it the abridged version.
I don't know how.
So, in 1997... there was this movie called Scream 2 that opened.
Not just on December 12th,
yes.
1997.
Yes. Kevin Williamson wrote.
Uh-huh. Wes Craven directed.
Yes.
So we watched it in honor of the 20th anniversary yesterday, which was December 12th. And we're just shocked that it's been 20 years since Scream 2 came out.
And everyone was so quiet watching it. We didn't talk at all.
We watched it with three of our friends. And I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I don't talk a lot during movies, because I do. But like... nobody would shut up.
No, we talked through the entire thing. And
like,
I came
like,
in.
There were parts when I like actually wanted to hear. Nope.
No.
And I mean, yes, I was an offender too, but it's like, I mean, I don't know how you, I mean, obviously I love the Scream movies. Like, but Scream 2, other than, I absolutely love it. Anybody who says that sequels can't be as good as the original, I mean, yes, there was nothing in Scream 2 that was as good as the Drew Barrymore opening scene of Scream. I mean, that's, you can't top that, but as a movie, it was just a incredible sequel. I loved
agree.
It.
Okay, I'm going to ask you some important questions.
Ask me.
Okay, did you like Portia de Rossi or Rebecca Gayheart better?
Neither.
Who was
the dumb sorority girls? I mean, they were both equal, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like,
who were you most shocked to see pass away in the film?
Pass away? Oh, that's so passive away.
Well, you know.
Well, I mean, I was
Jerry O'Connell
during it. No, Randy. I mean, like, the thing is, Jamie Kennedy's death, I remember, so we were talking about, like, experiences of seeing it, and I remember seeing it with all my friends, and, you know, I just seen Scream the year before and loved it and was so looking forward to the sequel coming out, and being shocked that they killed Randy off, because Randy, like, not only was he one of the two survivors from the original, but he was, like, a beloved character. He was the Mr., like, rules, well, knows everything. But for shock value, I knew they wouldn't kill Sydney, so I guess they had to, but I was shocked. I was also not shocked, but shocked that Sarah Michelle Gellar's met such an untimely end so quickly.
So
I guess
quick.
I thought she was going to be a bigger part in
the
movie.
She had a TV series to do.
And she had just done I Know What You Did Last Summer, but I was the most shocked by
really
Randy.
Good.
Oh, her. So the thing is, if you know Scream 2, the opening scene, which is very creative, but it's not as effective as the opening
Jada
scene
Pinkett?
From Scream 1. Yeah, yeah.
Heather Graham,
it's great.
Yeah, it's good.
It's great, but it's in a theater, so it's not as creepy, but it's disturbing. That's what I was saying. It's very disturbing, because the idea that someone could get killed in a theater, people are celebrating a horror movie and not even knowing that a real killer is there.
I was nervous, because I did go see it a second time, and I actually thought, I mean, Now the world we live in,
you would never be allowed to wear costumes. But in the original, in Scream 2, the opening scene, they're seeing a movie of the events of the first one, which is very meta. And at the premiere, they give out costume stuff. So everybody watching is dressed like the killer with fake knives running around screaming, which would never happen today.
No, see, I think that I remember seeing it the second time and I was actually looking around the theater.
Well, that's the thing.
I was like, I'm genuinely nervous.
Her boyfriend gets killed in the bathroom and
Let's talk about that death.
Oh.
That death is so... I think it's the worst one in the entire series.
Not getting thrown off the third story of the sorority house
Sarah Michelle Gellar. Not bad.
Not getting stabbed to death in the van.
Stabbed in the head that way was disgusting.
Through a bathroom wall.
Stall.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't have been listening to someone peeing. Number one. Mommy.
It was Tim Fiola, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He goes, Mommy, no. Mommy, ma. Yeah. You know what I wonder? And it's like, you can't think of these things, but you know, after you find out who the killer or killers are in one of these movies, then you like can go back and think, okay, you could like picture them in the costume during the killings.
I didn't do any thinking.
So I always think about that scene, and it, you know, it's Omar Epps, and he hears the killer in the stall next to him, like
it was
doing
Mickey.
Gibberish to himself. What the fuck was the point of? Was Mickey sitting there going,
it's just,
"Yummy, mommy,
it's
yummy,
just,
yummy"?
It's unnerving.
It is unnerving, but it's like when you think about it from a logical standpoint, which you obviously shouldn't. Like, was he just sitting on the toilet saying, "Ooh, how can I get him to
First
listen?"
Off,
I guess actually, no. That you're right. He needed him to put his ear to the door so he could stab him through.
Which was the worst.
It's a pretty bad to get stabbed in the like I don't know the side of the
and
head.
And then like he's still alive.
Well, yeah, I guess.
But you know what?
Yeah.
American Horror Story had much worse scenes with the nail gun.
Oh God, yeah.
And
oh, cult,
like
cult,
a, yeah, cult,
coke, cult, cult.
So that for me was the worst. And
but I thought Jada Pinkett's death was more disturbing. She gets stabbed about 9 times in the middle of a crowd.
So if the movie has the 2 worst deaths,
in
the opening scene, like where do you go from there?
But the cool thing is, it was very. They knew they couldn't just repeat the Drew Barrymore opening scene. So I give it to to Kevin Williamson and Wes Craven for creating like a really cool meta, different opening scene. Wasn't as scary as the first, but just disturbing and unnerving.
You know what I loved that fact that they Laurie Metcalf was
Metcalf, is that
I thought she was a man. No, but it was kind of, I don't know if he meant to do this on purpose or not, but was it a homage to Betsy Palmer's performance in Friday 13th?
Well, like, I just love that you first said homage instead of homage. That's my first thing.
Oh, did I do
say
it wrong?
It was a homage, like a homoage.
Oh, I prefer a homoage.
Wait, oh, to
homage.
Betsy Palmer. I mean, I think a couple things. I mean, yes, because it's the mother. We were talking about
like
this yesterday.
Like, over-top performances? Like, so, both of them are like, whoop, whoop.
I think... So, okay, we can talk about the reveal of... So, the two killers in Scream 2, everybody's seen. It's been 20 years. Mickey, who nobody cares about.
I'm not even trying to describe this movie.
And Laurie Metcalf, who plays Mrs. Loomis, a.k.a. Billy Loomis's, the killer from the first movie's mother. I love that. So, I've heard split feelings on the reveal of the killer being Mrs. Loomis. I personally thought it was incredible. Here's why. Number one... the continuity between the first, because in the first, like, Billy Loomis is constantly talking about, like, wah, wah, Sydney, your mom slept with my dad, and it made my mom leave. So, aka, continuity from the first one. So, there was that mom who left. Number two, nobody had any idea that Laurie Metcalf was in the killer. I've never talked to anyone who was like, yep, I called it. That newscaster was the killer.
I definitely didn't call her. I actually had no idea.
No, exactly. That's the thing. So, it was totally surprising. And then when you see it's the reporter, or, I mean, Laurie Metcalf, she walks in and you're like, Debbie Salt. But then when she reveals she's Mrs. Loomis, I'm like, this is genius, because it wasn't just thrown in there. Like, it made sense.
But did you ever think it was Gale Weathers?
I mean,
just kidding.
You didn't even, did she chasing after herself?
I love Gale Weathers. In 1, 2, and 3, even her bangs.
Oh, God, the bangs are awful. But can we talk about the two, in my opinion, best scenes of Scream 2? And there's a million great scenes because it's a great movie. Number one best scene, I think we agree on this, is a scene in the car.
Oh,
when Sydney and Hallie are in that car accident.
Elise Neal.
Yes, and the killer is, like, knocked down the front seat, and they have to crawl over him to get out. It's the most
unnerving.
And kudos
to that cop driver in the front seat.
Yeah, I know. What a cutie. I wonder what he's up to today,
Phil
Payval. I know. I wonder what
I'm gonna kiss them.
That's crazy.
Okay, go ahead.
So that's number one best scene in the movie. I mean, I remember people in the theater were going nuts over that. And then number two, Oh, I thought the Gale Weathers chase scene in college.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I agree.
She's running through like doors, and like, anybody who's ever been in a college building, like after hours, it's fucking scary.
No,
like,
I totally
agree. It's really eerie. Either a library or a college campus building when there's nobody around is effing scary. So, and Gale, so that was a really good scene.
Where'd you go to high school? Where'd you go to college?
Boston University. And
it look like that?
No, because our campus was in the middle of the city, so it wasn't like as much of a college campus. But we had a library, and I remember there were two basements, a basement and a sub-basement. I remember like going to study, and the sub-basement was really, really like crowded, really like thin
was there
corridors.
Books in there?
Yes, it's lots of books. And I remember going down there, and nobody else was down there. It was at night, and I was like, this is fucking scary. Like, a killer could be hiding in the library. A very studious killer.
Right, right.
A good killer. So anyway, abandoned
study
colleges.
Study by day,
are,
kill by night.
Yeah, I see. But I thought Scream 2, and it's, first off, the fact that it's been 20 years is nuts, but the fact that I still feel like it holds up
today.
I'm just sad that like the generation of younger people that didn't grow up on Scream like we did,
we actually know
like, think
someone.
It's like an old horror movie.
Well, we know someone who hasn't seen Scream 1, 2,
but
3,
he's in our age group.
I know that's scary to me.
It's scary. Well, how do you
escape he's 33
the late 90s and not have seen the Scream movies?
I don't know.
Like you had to be.
It was everything. Well, maybe to
then.
Us, we're it's everything.
No,
to
but
us.
Not so. I remember Scream won the MTV Movie Award for best movie, and I know it's like big whoop, but that's when the MTV Movie Awards were actually really
popular.
Remember
the Blockbuster Awards?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yes, and there was Kids' Choice. But Scream was everything, so the sequel came out.
Well, it came out in December, and it had steady business, I think, until like April.
And then they re-released, so Scream 2 was re-released because in May, I think, because I remember going to see it again when they re-released it. But my whole point is, like, back then, when MTV was popular, and the Scream movies were everything. So, like, to have escaped that time without, I understand if you're young and haven't seen it, but if you're in, like, your 30s and haven't seen it.
I know, or
40s. For Timmy.
Jinx. You owe me a Coke.
Yeah, but it still holds up today. So here's a question for you.
Yes.
Rank the Scream movies in order of your preference from 1 through 4, that your top one to your least favorite one.
I think they go in order. 1, 2, 3, 4.
4 is your least favorite?
Well, I like them all.
I know, I like them all too, but I would say 1, 2, 4, 3.
You don't love 3?
3 is fun, but it's so campy.
I liked it because it was in Hollywood, and it was right when I moved to Hollywood.
But it just became... I like that they have comedy in the Scream movies, but it became more of a comedy.
No, absolutely. Like it was going that route of like, just like a Nightmare on Elm Street 3, we got very like, it's when Freddy started making jokes like, welcome
exactly.
to prime time,
but,
bitch.
Yeah, but I don't want to undermine 4 because I actually love 4.
No, I love 4.
And 4 and 2 to me are really, really close. I would just say 1 and then 2 by a tiny bit over 4 because I loved 4 and then 3 way
Marley
below
Shelton.
It was all Marley Shelton. No, Emma Roberts. Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah, of course. She went on to that cult.
Oh, you mean American Horror Story? To that cult. Emma Roberts, like, please, if you're listening, because of course you are.
She is. She's like, oh, when's that
podcast come out? I know you've played Sorority Girls and, like, Mean Girls. Play a psychopath again, because you were awesome. Like,
she's growing out of those roles.
The Sorority Girls or the Psychopaths?
Yeah, both.
I mean, I feel like she's never going to grow out of the Sorority
Girls.
That's
true,
like,
that's true.
But play it like she was such a good nutcase. I mean,
I agree. Slamming her head into that mirror.
Yeah, but we're actually the one thing we didn't talk about. I know we should end soon. Is Laurie Metcalf's performance in Scream 2?
Oh,
like
yeah.
She is unbelievable. She is so nuts. It is great. I mean, like if you're gonna play a psycho serial killer, you got.
Would
play
you
it nuts.
Dress up as Debbie Salt? Is that her name
for Halloween?
Yeah.
I mean, it was Debbie Loomis, but pretending to be Debbie Salt.
Right.
You like how I have
Debbie
correctly.
Salt doesn't
like,
even exist.
Doesn't even exist. Well, who gives a flying fuck?
Oh,
let him try and find the second possible killer.
We have to cut that
killer.
Effort out.
Debbie Salt doesn't exist. Would I dress up as her for Halloween and basically be like a woman in like a business suit? So no.
Yeah, with the pearls.
With a pearl.
With a pearl. With a string of pearls. A la Woolworth. Thank you.
So no, I wouldn't dress up, but I wouldn't dress up as anyone from the Scream movies other than Ghostface because they're all just like normal people.
That's
right?
True. Yeah, all right. Well, all right. Thank you so much for listening.
I feel like we need to end on like a holiday note.
Okay. Yes.
Or something.
Yes. Okay. Jingle
Have yourself.
Bells, jingle
we,
bells.
We both start singing. No. We want to wish listeners
yes.
a very happy holiday season and a very healthy new year.
I have something to say.
Oh, go.
Okay. So in the future, let me know if you would like to have guests. let me know if there's a particular guest and maybe I can tweet them, because, you know, I've got so many connections through Twitter.
But it's true. There's a lot of, like, people who love horror movies know all the actors and actresses in them. And there's a lot of actors and actresses out there in, like, maybe not huge horror movies, but, like, that would do this podcast. And that would be really cool to have.
I'd love
them
to
on
sit
there.
Down and talk to them.
Especially, what's her name? Olivia DeJong?
Olivia DeJonghi.
DeJonghi.
She's busy, though, and she's like 19. She has no interest in a 40-year-old gay man.
I know, but she, who knows? She probably has like a lot of 40-year-old gay men friends.
She might. She might.
Yeah, she might.
All right. Well, happy holidays, Matt.
Happy horror time, Tim.
Oh, you always say that.